the need for guardianship doesn't just appear out of thin air. You need to find out what the bump in the road was that finally brought all this to the court's attention. Both the guardian ad litem and attorney ad litem should try to determine if there are any undercurrents or hidden agendas at work. Only rarely what is in the pleadings the full story. Getting an answer on file is important. It's generally difficult to convince the court that you should be paid if you can't prove in the pleadings that you were, had appeared in the case. If you're actively contesting the application, you should show whether you're objecting to the guardianship, the proposed guardian, or both. So be specific. And again, there's forms in your materials to specify each of these things. If you're the guardian ad litem, you've got to get the application filed as soon as possible so the doctor's letter will not become stale. The doctor's letter has to be dated within 120 days of the date of the filing of the application. Now, when you file the application, you can initially request the appointment of applicant or any suitable person. And you ask for appointment of the guardian of the person and, if necessary, guardian of the estate. This is so if the information changes by the time you have your hearing, you can amend the pleadings without having to get a new citation issued and waiting for a new return date. The most important thing that a guardian ad litem can do is to expedite the process by getting the doctor's letter in hand before the application is filed. If the guardian ad litem is the applicant and the proposed ward has no ability to pay costs or is receiving governmental assistance based on indigence, the guardian ad litem should file a statement of inability to afford court costs. We traditionally call that a pauper's affidavit. The legal test is whether the person would be unable to pay the costs if he or she really wanted to. Use the Supreme Court's form. It's in your materials in Appendix H. The clerk should not be using any other form. This is a mandated form from the Supreme Court. The form in your materials is slightly different because it includes the ability to reference a statutory probate court. The form on the Supreme Court website does not have that in there, but I got permission to make that addition. If it's a possibility that you're going to need to be filing one of these, you need to get it done as early on before a lot of costs get run up. No guardianship can be granted without a doctor's letter before the court. Only a physician can complete it. It's usually the only medical evidence that the judge is ever going to see. It has to be based on an examination conducted within 120 days before the application is filed, and it must be very specific as to the functional deficits and abilities of the proposed ward in specific areas. In your materials at Appendix D is a doctor's letter approved by the judges of all the statutory probate courts. If the proposed ward is intellectually disabled, a regular CME will not work. Instead, you have to do or use a determination of intellectual disability. The good news is that the form at Appendix D will cover both situations. In that case, either a physician or a psychologist may complete the document. And there is a 24-month time frame with this because most people in the MHMR system are evaluated every 2 years. If they have not done a workup within 2 years, it's possible to get the doctor to sign an endorsement of the existing workup, if it's still accurate. If proposed ward has both incapacity and intellectual disability, then use the CME. If the court determines it's necessary or one of the parties wants a second opinion, the court can order an independent medical examination. The proposed ward and all the parties must be given at least 4 days' notice of a hearing on the motion, but some courts will accept waivers of both the notice and the hearing. At the hearing, the court must determine if there is a necessity for an independent examination. Any report or CME resulting from the independent medical exam must be made available to the attorney ad litem. Now, the best way to challenge a doctor's letter is to request an IME. I always suggest that you ask the court for a doctor in a different discipline to perform the exam. A lot of you who litigate frequently are familiar with the motion for examination under the rules of civil procedure. There's case law that says you can't use that because there is a specific procedure in the estates code. So you've got to follow what's in your materials. And I've got sample forms for you on those motions and orders. Ever since its passage, HIPAA and other privacy and confidentiality laws have kept the healthcare profession jumpy. However, all these laws specifically authorize disclosure pursuant to an order of a court of competent jurisdiction. The order appointing the ad litem specifies that you're an officer of the court which allows access to those medical or governmental records. However, if you're denied access, ask the records custodian for the exact spelling of their name and the correct physical address of the location. That way, the constable can properly serve the subpoena deuces tecum you have obtained so that the records custodian can cool their heels while you examine the records in the courtroom.